Sorry to have kept you waiting, but I'm also glad because I'm sure you had a good time of saying prayer together. I made a few notes here as to what I wanted to cover tonight. This will not be a long meeting, I trust. But I thought that as long as I had just come back from Spoon Lake, that you'd like to have a little first-hand report of things. I don't know as I have too much to tell you that you don't already know, but I would like to just share a few things with you. But before I do that, I certainly want to express my appreciation to every single one of you for all that you've been doing this last week. I've been getting constant reports of how you have turned to and put your shoulder to the wheel and how you've been working. And also, I personally have never in my whole life sensed the reality of the presence of the Spirit of God at work through me than I have seen this week. It's just been absolutely, it's miraculous, it is, that's all there's to it. I know when I was in England and I had the counseling classes and how sometimes I felt detached from the meeting as though somebody else were using my voice and I was off observing. So it has been this week. It was even greater that we just seen God at work. And God does answer prayer, and the reality of that fact and the reality of what happens when we stand together. I'm just trying to figure out some way that that won't leave us. When I see what it does and what it has done. Because I know the things that hit me this week from early morning to late at night that had to be decided in a couple of minutes that I'd normally have to take a week or two to think over. But the Lord has undertaken for us. And it's an evidence that He answers prayer. I know Billy was telling me that in India, he said in India he just had that boiled up feeling. Well, in Lala and the kids, you can tell it. I think you'd be surprised if you were at Spoon Lake. I'm surprised in one way, but I'm most suppose happily surprised to see your prayers answered. Where's Dottie McClinic? Is she here? Well, wouldn't you say so, Dottie?
Yes, Mr.
And do you know the greatest comfort of Spoon Lake? Is Lila Trotman. She is a comforter, not the comforted. It's just tremendous. In fact, if somebody asked Jim Downing if she was in a state of shock, couldn't understand it. No, not Lila Trotman. So that's the answer to prayer. And it isn't Lila Trotman, it's God, of course, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, I tell you, gang, it shows what happens when we stick together. But just a word on that, we're going to have to stick together for some time to come. We got some big things ahead. So let's learn our lesson and not let down, huh? If I had ever seen anything that I was convinced was Genesis 5, isn't 5:24? And Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. I think it's 5:24. Let me check. Yes. And Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. After getting to Spoon Lake and all, and talking with various people, listening to stories of what had happened, and then getting more from this person than that one. The evidence is that this was of how God had been at work. Was such that you'd almost think that somebody was making these things up afterwards. All from the details of exactly what happened, as far as the incident's concerned, and we certainly don't call it an accident. Because as Jim Downing and some of the others said, 44 divers wouldn't have done any good at that point. This was a case of what God wanted. And it was no accident. And Everything. For instance, I talked with a little gal, Aline Beck, who can't swim a stroke. And she told her story. And the girl, Millie Norwood, who had dived in, and she told her story. I think you perhaps have recounted this. I think it's been recounted to you as I phoned it in. And all, it just, it's all you can say, that it was the Lord. There's no, you can't stop and say, well, if only somebody, if this they'd done this, or if just that, well, then it wouldn't have happened. You just can't say that. Because all the details seem to, just all are such that you can't say, oh, only if, or if it might have been. Thus was the case. For instance, there were these life preservers that they had the boat full of, and they were all in the water. I mean, they were all around. It was just, you might say, miraculous that they didn't get him in time. And that's the unusual thing, that how they could kept from it, the time and the people that were close and all the rest, that it was just it was God's time, that's all. And the more I was there, and the more convinced I was of it. Now, there are certain things, I believe, that will help to confirm that when you hear Lila. And when she has to say of God's preparation and so on, that is so astounding that you can just hardly, you just think you almost listen to a story that somebody made up of heart preparation and things that were talked over and things that were done and so on. I think you'd say that's true, wouldn't you, Daddy? So, did you put it well? Where's Bob? Oh, he's not here. Bob?
Yes?
I want to just ask you a question here for a minute. Did you pretty well relay to them the instance I told, how it happened, and the recovery of the body on Wednesday and so on? Did you explain that, I suppose?
So not as a group, Lauren. It might be good to pick it up from about Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. And did you tell them about Aline and about the girl, Millie, and so on, that dove in?
No.
Well,
they know all these things happen, but it hasn't ever been put together in a story for them.
Well, I won't tell you. Let me just touch on it quickly. But I think that you ought to know, because people will ask you questions, and undoubtedly they're in your own mind. And I find that, and I know it'll be a little hard for some, especially for me, just to mention this. And I want to be very tender and careful in it. But I do feel that for you on the staff to know some of the details, I think will help you rather than hinder you. This speedboat, which I rode in yesterday or the day before, goes about 40 or 45 miles an hour, has a 150 horsepower motor in it, and it has a front seat in the back, and then a space beyond that. And Doss and the two girls and Jack Whitson were in the front seat. Well, when this thing takes off, it just sits up on an angle like that. So Doss suggested they sit up on the back of the front seat. I don't know if that was explained to you or not. Well, then this girl, Aline, was sitting right on the edge, on the back of the front seat. You get the picture, I guess, and then Doss, and then Floyd. And Doss had a hold of this girl, with his arm hooked through her, and then grabbed a hold of her wrist. Well, it was a very rough day, and Jack said later they really shouldn't have been out. In fact, he had taken Doss skiing just before that, and during which time, they had joked about it a lot, and Doss said, well, I'll go out on a day like this. I'm no sissy. Maybe you won't, Jack, but I will. You know how they would josh one another. And so he wanted to go water skiing. So Jack tossed him this life preserver and said, put this on. Oh, I don't need a life preserver. And Jack says, if you don't put it on, how can I get these kids to put it on? Oh, okay. So he put on the life preserver. And then there was a lot of people down there watching in the first couple of times he spilled, and couldn't get off the dock, and then he got off, and he took him clear around the island and back. Well, it was very rough, and apparently this kid's pretty hard on the legs if you're not used to it. So he came back and remarked how tired he was, and they suggested they take some kids for rides in the boat. So that was just a little background of what happened, and so they were taking kids for rides. And it was rough, and they hit this wave, and the two of them were flung out. And they were, well, the three of them were flung that way, but Floyd, being on the right, of course, hit inside the boat. And Aline told me that she just knew that he must be an expert swimmer, and she herself couldn't swim a stroke. And she doesn't know whether he knew that she could swim or not, but he never lost his grip on her and kept holding her up. And then she said that she was trying to kick and to be of help herself. She wasn't just clinging to him, but she was trying to tread water with her feet and do what she could to help. In the meantime, the boat turned around, but seemed an eternity to her. Jack said, because nobody knows the exact time, but that thing really stops right now, because I was in it when it did, when it rode the other day, and came around, and it was less than a minute for sure. How much longer, I mean, nobody could actually say. So that they got back, and they tossed, oh, I suppose there are the cushions, 8 or 10 of those that are life preservers, and they had a life buoy and put that out, and then there were swimmers that were aboard and dived out. Well, Aline said that as soon as one of them got close to her, that she grabbed a hold of one and let go of Doss, and she was hauled in. And Floyd said that even at that moment, as far as Doss was concerned, that there was no more, he was just motionless in the water. Well, and this other girl got hold of him by the hair and had a firm grip and thought that would bring him to, so he would start kicking. That didn't work, so she got under him. And she got a hold of him again by the hair. And, of course, quite a bit of time elapsed for all of this. And in the meantime, then the second time, she got a terrific cramp in her leg. And such a terrific cramp that she couldn't hang on. And besides, right there, within 2 seconds, she said, there were swimmers, there was the line, and everything. And but she had to let go. And, of course, he went down and then didn't come up again. So that as far as the time factor is concerned, people say, well, couldn't anybody get back there? As Jim Downing has put it, there was no accident. But that was sure that the whole thing is that Doss had one purpose. He just summoned all of his energies toward one purpose, and that was holding up this girl. And he just put everything he had into it, and that was all he had left. So putting it from man's standpoint, he just clearly laid down his life for another. Greater love hath no man than this. Which, as we all know, was as characteristic of the man's life as anything could possibly be. And I doubt, of course, we who have lived more closely and have lived in the home, we're the ones who would know that. Now, this hits a lot of us a lot harder than it would others, particularly those who have lived and worked and so closely. I'm sure that it hits all of us hard. But it was clearly a heroic, the world would call it heroic, and it was heroic. And certainly a climaxing demonstration of a life that was given to helping others. And I can't help but rejoice in it. I told Lala, I said, I've actually tried to figure out. First place, I was hoping that it wouldn't happen for another 15 or 20 years, you know. And, of course, we know that all of us someday, I mean, it isn't going to last forever. But I really think it happened so soon. But if I tried to figure out what would be better, what would be better? I mean, lay in a bed ill for a year, plane crash, I mean, giving your life for another. We all have to admit that God planned it wonderfully. So I think from Dawson's standpoint, he gave his life for another. But from God's standpoint, it was God's time and God took him. And now I say that, and if I get a little quiver in my voice, it isn't just only from Doss. I'll speak very frankly that if the thing hits me double, as you could all well imagine. Because at the same time I say that, I'm implying that the leadership that is left is capable of following on. And there's nobody knows the heart searchings that have gone on in my own heart since last Monday. But enough on that subject. That's the Lord will take care of that. And I have to do, is just to keep bringing that back to the Lord. Because I know Dawson and I had talked about this several times this year as to what would happen. And I said, I wouldn't talk to him. I said, well, the Lord isn't going to make any mistakes like that. So, then, I don't know, I think that part of the rest of the story of the preparation of heart and what went on behind the scenes, I think I'd like to leave that for you to hear from Lila's lips. And when you hear it from Lila's lips, I know you'll have to say with me that, well, Lord, thy name be praised. It's hard on us. And it leaves us with an empty spot. But this is God's doing. So I thought you'd like to know that. I don't know what else that I could mention. I've talked with Jack. And Jack, by the way, pretty much felt responsible to blame. He was out in that boat morning till night, looking. And by the way, just how the Lord timed even the finding. We got there at 3:30 on Wednesday, Burke and Faith and I, and we got out in the boat and we went over the site and all around. It was 2 hours later that this skin diver had come and had made the discovery. And all the things. Well, I don't know of anything else I need to tell you, but I thought that if you knew just a little bit more of the actual facts of what took place, that you could see better, as I could see, having been there, that through our tears, and by the way, it's okay. I just was thinking today at Lazarus, Jesus wept. I mean, it's we quote that verse sometimes in a joke, but it's true. And it doesn't say in the Bible that we shouldn't sorrow. I don't know where it says we shouldn't have any. It says we sorrow not as those who have no hope. And that's what makes a difference. So, I think that covers those details. Now let me see. Children, Lila, fine. Conference going on very well. I spoke a couple times. Let's see. I think that's just about all that I need, that I can think of. I didn't make any outline. All I put down here is a story of what happened. And then note, leave certain things for Lila to tell, and that's all I put down here. As you know, the funeral will be next Wednesday afternoon at 3. And I know you'd be wondering, but I'm sure that it's well for me just to make this statement, that Lila and the family definitely feel that the casket should remain closed. And then in the evening, there'll be a memorial service, I think you know, at Colorado Springs. And then there's one planned for L.A. on a week from Monday night, on July 2nd. The interment, that is the burial, the grave, will be here on the Glen. But there will not be a graveside service. They will have the funeral service, and the interment will be private, that is later. There will be no graveside service of any kind. And Billy felt, we feel, and most of those, everyone that I know feels, that to have it here on the glen would certainly be most appropriate. And a site will be picked off to the side somewhere, and we certainly want to be careful. There's no shrine going to be made, or anything that will be predominant as people walk back and forth into the glen. There's some place that you have to walk to get to it. For instance, R.A. Torrey is buried at Mount Hermon, and you have to walk about a half mile to get there, and it's just a simple place. D.L. Moody is placed on the top of a hill at Northfield, a place that he founded, and it's back there. So just where that will be, we don't know for sure, but all of us have great peace in our hearts that it certainly would be most fitting. You know, I was trying to think, you know, I say, well, what would you have for a memorial to Doss? Would you have the chapel? Would you have... No, you can't. The whole thing is. The whole business. There's one founder to a work. There aren't two founders. And there won't be another Doss Trotman. They're just one. God had him in mind. God picked him. God trained him. God used him. And God saw to it, felt that this and the time was finished, and God took him home. And we're going to see him, and the time is going to go a lot faster than we think, by the way, when that day will be. And I hope that we're keeping reminded of eternal things and of the house not made with hands, the real one. I told my kids tonight, I said, you know, it's like Doss gone on a trip. He's gone to a far country, only it's not a foreign country. It's the real one. It's the one we were made for. It's the one that we were saved for. And so we feel that this would certainly be most fitting, that off to the side somewhere, some had thought maybe one of their favorite prayer spots or someplace we don't know yet. Someone thought, well, I thought through on this. Well, I just mentioned that. If you have any further questions, well, you ask me privately. I think that most everything, is, I trust, has been thought through. The Lord's been helping us. But we have felt that that would be good. How to act around the family. I wouldn't act around anybody. Just be yourself. Don't try to be anything. Don't try to be sad. Don't try to be happy. Don't try to be flippant. Just look to the Lord to do one thing, I think, with the family and the guests as they come, to just give of ourselves to others. That's the best thing in the whole world. And get our mind off ourselves and on to others. And Billy feels very definitely, and he's told me several times, I've talked with him on the phone, and he's called me at Scroon Lake. He said, now this, he said, I feel should be a time of victory. And he said, I can't see it any other way. And he's been thinking about the message and all that he'll be bringing on Wednesday. So, but one of the hardest things on is that you have your mind on yourself. And the best thing is to carry right on as Doss did, as the Lord would have us to do, and that is, as our friends and guests come and all, that we give ourselves to their comfort and to them in a real spirit. Certainly we don't want to go around as if there were no heaven, as if there were no Savior. And certainly neither do we want to put on an act of flippancy. Let's just look to the Lord, and we're all having our own times with God, and let Him search our hearts. And he'll put the proper expression on the face, and let's just give ourselves to Him, to others. Not only now, but in the days to come. And get a mind off yourselves. That's the best way to know how to act. Because when you think about yourself, and it, you know, it's all fouled up. There'll be quite a few guests coming in. We don't know exactly how many. But there may be, have to be some shuffling and reshuffling of the housing. And whoever's taking care of that, I don't know, but I'm sure that that's well in hand. As to the future, Of course, a lot of doing a lot of thinking on the future and the immediate future. But for now, nothing has changed. That is, we are carrying on the work here administratively, just like we have before. Each person in their own responsibility, carrying it on as they're carrying it on. We've had many times when Dawson's been gone for 3 months or something, we've been on a trip, and we've carried on, and if I'm here, then I've had the main final responsibility. So there are no changes being made. We're going to proceed right on with the job. We've got the same vision, got the same world to reach, the same gospel to get out. And like I told my children, I stopped home for a few moments, and I said, you know, they said, well, it was wonderful of Doss to save this girl. And I said, you know what was more wonderful? The hundreds that are led to Christ that are going to be in eternity. That's infinitely more wonderful to save their life. And remember, we've got, there's a world, and there are, we've got to get people into the Word. We've got to be thinking now what God wants us to do. Now, of course, there'll be several changes, of course. And I'll tell you one great, big, two-fisted change. All of us have got a far greater responsibility than we've ever had before. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about all of us. Every one of us. And there's some of you here that I don't recognize you, and you'll forgive me. If you just came on the glen, you say, well, I'm kind of new to this. This doesn't mean me. It means you too. It means every person. Regardless if you're a newcomer with us, haven't been with us long, it means all of us. Because if God has brought you into contact with us, that hasn't been happenstance. And we are interdependent. We are interrelated. And you can't just sit back and say, well, I'm sure they've got a board of directors and they've got the fellows back and they're, and Doug Sparks will be back soon and Dan Pyle will be out here and there's Foster and all and... we all have a heavier responsibility, every one of us. And you're bearing it now. I know it, I can sense it. But we must continue. Then, we're going to have to wait on the Lord about what steps, how He wants us to carry on from there. I could sit down with a piece of paper, I suppose, and maybe work out something. But that isn't what the Lord wants. I believe that we've got more times of prolonged prayer and waiting upon God ahead of us, particularly the next month to 6 weeks. You see, all of us are convinced. And many of our friends, well, I don't know of any that aren't, there are probably some that have their fingers crossed, that this work was built with a vision that it could carry on when its leader was taken. That was one of the burning passions of its leader. And I got a letter tonight. Do you have that letter there, honey? It was marked personal and confidential, but it won't hurt if I read one sentence. I wish I could read the whole letter to you. I don't know what this one does to me. He said, I have no doubt whatsoever that some tremendously fine things are just ahead. This, I think, is the legacy which Doss has given to you. The opportunity to build and rebuild. Among other things, you must certainly be grateful that you have a strong foundation upon which to build. Oh, look. Look. But you know, I'm convinced, all over and see the consummation of things that he had on his heart. But it won't be done because we've got some men. It won't be done because we got some facilities. It's got to be way back, rooted and anchored in God. You see what I mean? It seems to me, as I've been thinking and praying, this is a time to make sure that we are anchored. Not in another person. Not in an organization. But in God. Then together we'll be anchored in God. And then moving on with the vision that God has used someone to instill in us, that we're so long we're ready to give our lives to. Well, a lot of thinking, of course, has already gone into this, and a lot more is going to have to go into this. And God, who has taken us this far, is going to help us on that. But you may be wondering, well, what's going to happen? We'll continue right like we are. You know what your job is, everyone in this place, and we'll continue right on. And then we'll let the Lord show us what steps he wants us to take. The plans for the summer, of course, it goes without saying the significance of staff conference this summer. Met Dan Pyatt and Mel and the kiddies, the boat this morning. Good to see them. We went into a restaurant, you know what they ordered? Hamburger and milkshake. Bless their little hearts. I could have bawled for them. And well, I don't know where he got the word. Well, I told me that they'd been on living on cheese and crackers for so long. And the little kids, most of them were sick part of the way, or some of them all the way over. And they've gotten this word while on the ship. But except for the fact that Dan's a little tired, their spirits were up. And it was just a joy. We had a good time together, a couple hours together. And they were furnished a car, a Suburban, by Chuck Dam, and they left this afternoon and headed for here. I'll be here about Tuesday night. And I want to talk with you fellas about Roy and about whether or not Roy ought to be here for staff, and pray about it together. Because if we had Roy, then that would make us pretty well represented for the important decisions that have to be made. The staff conference starts the 20th. I have been praying about this and want to check with our committee and council with folk here. We're thinking of asking the area directors to come about 5 days early. And so that we can get some time together. And then we've got some other plans of some council and all for days preceding that. So that we can basically carry right on through. Well, now that's the main thing. I just wanted to meet with you. I took longer than I had thought, but I wanted to give you just a little report and give you a word on what to expect this week. I just say this now for one reason, that sometimes people will want to know, well, how do you feel? How do you take this? And all I can say is that if I let myself think about it, in certain aspects especially, my heart hurts. It hurts as it is. But I also realize, and I just have to keep constantly coming back to the Word, to the book, coming back to it, that here is the fact, this is the situation, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I was taught to do that by my spiritual father, and here it is. here we are. All right, has God... has he worked? Can he work? Are these promises true? I say, but, Lord, I can't do it. It's all right, but he can do it. In fact, it's two sentences tonight speaking to you, as if I've only spoken about four sentences all day to myself, because I even get started on the thought. I even get started on it. That kind of gets hold of me. So we just keep looking back to the Lord. Keep looking back to the Lord. Just keep driving us back, back, back. And I told him on the way down from Denver I wasn't going to use this till staff, but I think I'll just quote it to you now and give it to staff too. I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss anything that God has for me. And it hurts and it burns, and I want it to. I want it to go way down deep. I need it. And he says, "Behold, I have refined thee." Well, we need refining. But not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Why? For mine own sake. Even for mine own sake will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory unto another. God will not give his glory to another. One of the greatest problems that God has is to get us into a place where he can answer prayer for us and work through us without us fretting, isn't it? And he wants to do it. And if this will purify right out through the entire NAV work, as well as the Christian world, which it certainly is. Think how much greater glory to the Lord. Isn't that our supreme purpose for being on this earth, to glorify God? Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. For mine own sake, even for mine own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory unto another. Now, aren't you thrilled that somebody brought you the gospel message? Aren't you thrilled that today you have a hope that's sure, that is secure? I told a man seated beside me on the plane today about the situation, and I said, you know, this old book has a lot of comfort at a time like this. I said, it has a lot to say at a time like this. And he said, it sure does. And you know what I was just thinking today? How many people in the world there are who are heartsick tonight. Do you know that 50 people every day in the USA commit suicide? 200 more try it. That statistic came to me the other day. You think of the heartache, the heartsick people in the United States today. You strip away the Cadillacs and you strip away the nice houses with a white picket fence around it. You strip away the smile on people's faces and it hides a tear in the heart. You know what they need? They need the message of comfort for what Jesus Christ did on the cross, huh? And boy, doesn't it renew your old determination to get out this gospel message. Because one of these days it's going to be all over. He's going to come, and now is the time to labor. And now is not the time to wish something that might not have been. Now is the time to learn what God wants us to learn. And with renewed dedication and renewed sense of victory, to step out in faith. I'm just full of some scripture. Let me just give you this one and I will quit. I know you're all tired. I spoke on this up at the conference. I forget where it is. It's 2 Kings 2, yeah. You may hear this again at staff conference if the Lord directs that way, but I'll just give you the seed thought of it right now. Remember when Elijah was taken up? And Elisha took his mantle and he smote the waters and he said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" You know the answer to that question? He's waiting for Elisha to call on him. He's waiting for Elisha to step out in faith. That's where he is. And Elisha took that mantle as he'd seen Elijah do, and he smote the waters, and in a step of faith he expected that as God had worked for Elijah, that the waters were going to part. And I think God was looking. Where is he? He wants us to step out in faith. Well, I'll be like Paul here. I'll preach in a wee small hours and somebody fall out the window. You know? Any question? Lala will be home sometime Monday. They were having difficulty getting reservations. They're trying to come all together. Bless old Jack Woodson. He's paying all the round trips, Burke's and Faith's and mine, and all the family, all kinds of other expenses. And I haven't refused to let him because I just, you know, he wants to. Of course, I'm hoping a little later, don't bring this to a soul, that the Lord will enable us to do something substantial for Word of Life. Real love gift for the Navigators. And you're going to love Jack. And you won't find it hard to love him. Be showing a lot of love back. He'll be here Tuesday. And he'll stay here. I think he'll leave on Thursday. What a man of God. And let me see. Any other question? Okay, well, we better. Let's have a word of prayer, shall we?